Good morning, everybody. Glad you're here today. Did anybody go trick-or-treating last night? We have a mic on this, Kirk. Hello, hello, hello. Can you hear me? There we go, there we go.
When's the appointment?
The appointment's already been.
Oh.
We're not going to jump yet. Well, we already jumped. Anyway, good morning. Glad you're here today. Hey, listen, make sure you read your program, would you please? There's a lot of stuff going on in the church that I want you to know about. We got Grateful Gathering tonight going on. That's an Operation Christmas Child thing. And please make it a point to grab some family members, come to that tonight. I think you'll really enjoy your time together for Grateful Gathering. And then also, ICOM is happening, the International Conference on Missions. It's kind of a missions conference for our churches and for a lot of other churches. And so it's going to be happening in Indianapolis. It's also going to be happening virtually as well. So please read about that. And then also, the last item on the program today, read about our harvest dinner. We're not going to be having that this year like we normally do, just due to the COVID thing, and we want you to read about that. And also, if we have some elderly folks in our church, some senior saints, widows, widowers, people who are maybe financially challenged, we would like to provide a meal for you that night. And so if you know of anybody, put them down on your connection card, and we'll be able to write a list down and be able to come into contact with them and be able to provide a meal for them on that night. Now, let me ask you this question as we begin today. Who is ready for the presidential election to be over? Say amen. That's right. I think you, along with the rest of the United States of America, is ready for the election to be over. It would have been a great division, wouldn't it? It would have been a great diversion to be able to have the World Series start a week later, rather than when it did, so we could have some time off from the election ads and all that stuff going on. By the way, speaking of the World Series, I know we have one or two Dodgers fans in here. Anybody else a Dodgers fan? You're the lone. Oh, we have one Dodgers fan there. Any other Dodgers fan? No, you're not a Dodgers fan. At any rate, Dodgers won the World Series, and so we're glad about that. Andy Borowitz wrote a tongue-in-cheek piece for the New Yorker magazine some time ago, and it goes like this. I think it's appropriate for us today. In an unexpected televised address on Saturday, Queen Elizabeth II offered to restore British rule over the United States of America, addressing the American people from her office in Buckingham Palace. The Queen said that she was making the offer in recognition of the desperate situation we now find ourselves in. This experiment in self-rule, she says, this experiment in self-rule began with the best of intentions, but I think we can all agree it didn't end up well. The Queen urged Americans to write in her name on Election Day, after which transition to British rule would begin. Queen Elizabeth acknowledged that in the wake of Brexit, Americans might be alarmed about government by parliamentary procedure, but she reassured them that Parliament will play no role in this at all. This will be old school monarchy. Just me, she says. Just me. And then, assuming you'd not rather have Charles, we'll go straight to William and those children that have mesmerized you so very much. Not a bad idea, right? Let me say this on the outset. I love my country. I love the United States of America. To quote Lee Greenwood from his song, I'm proud to be an American where at least I know I'm free. And let me be clear about this too, and this might be a shock to a lot of you, but God is not an American. God is not an American. God is not on his throne in heaven with the American flag draped over his shoulders. You need to know that he is equally concerned about his children in Asia, South America, Africa, the European continent, Australia. He's just as concerned about them as he's concerned about his children in the United States of America. You see, Jesus loves all the children of the world, the red, the yellow, the black, and white. They're all precious, right? They're all precious in his sight. Now, today, I want to talk about the fact that just because I think I'm right, or even if I am right, there will be a lot of people who disagree with me. And God loves them. just as much as he loves me. You see, a lot of us in this room, a lot of us in the United States of America come from different perspectives. We look at issues through different pairs of glasses. We come from different perspectives. Some would say, I can't believe some people believe that socialized medicine is a good thing. I just can't believe it. Perspective. Other people would say, you know what? I can't believe that you don't think that socialized medicine isn't a good thing. You see, poor people need medical attention as well. Or how can some people believe that we should be allowed to carry guns with all the violence in America? Perspective. While other people would say, it's my constitutional right to carry a gun. And the longer time goes on, the more I think I need one. Well, how can some people say it's okay to kill an unborn child while it's still in the mother's womb? How can they believe that's okay? Perspective. Some people would say it's a woman's right to choose. It's a woman's right to choose what she does with her own body. Now, just bringing up those three issues this morning, for some of you, you got the hair up on the back of your neck. You're a little bit ticked off because I brought up those issues, right? And I don't know about you, but I've got some strong opinions about those issues. In fact, one of my opinions about one of those issues is completely based on Scripture. And that doesn't mean I shouldn't vote accordingly. It doesn't mean that I shouldn't try to get the laws changed. Different people have different perspectives. For example, how can blacks in America not trust the cops? How can blacks in America not trust the police? Have you ever been in their shoes? Have you ever seen life, lived life through their eyeglasses? You see, it's about perspective. And I've got to realize that my opinion and my perspective is just that. It's my opinion and my perspective. That's all it is. I mean, even if it's an obvious biblical opinion, not everyone in the world believes the Bible. And if some people who believe the Bible, guess what? Not everyone believes the Bible the way I believe the Bible. You see, everyone has a bias in this room. Everyone in this world has a bias, whether they realize it or not. It's based on their perspective. You see, what we know and what we feel. Everyone's like that. Everyone has a bias. Everyone except for cats. Any cat lovers? Any cat lovers? Let's bring that picture up. This cat, he does not hate you because of your ethnicity, your sexuality, your gender, your appearance, your religion. He hates you just because he's a cat. Now, a lot of you know that I'm not a cat lover, right? I'm more of a dog lover, okay? I'm just saying. But guess what? That's my opinion. That's my perspective. Now, today what I want to do is to take you to a New Testament story that illustrates exactly how they dealt with this very thing. Let me take you to the story that's found in Acts chapter 10. But before we get to Acts chapter 10, I want you to know this if you don't know it already. Jesus said to the Apostle Peter in the Gospels, he said, Peter, I want you to lead out in establishing the church. And then on the day of Pentecost, after Jesus had been crucified and buried for dead and raised up from the grave and ascended into heaven, on the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter gave this sermon on the very first day of the church. He said this in Acts chapter 2, verse 14. He said, fellow Jews, and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. Who's his audience? The Jews. The Jews are his audience. It'd be kind of like me standing up before a great big crowd and saying, my fellow Americans. And I find it very, very interesting that in light of the story that we're going to look at today, he begins his sermon by saying, my fellow Jews. And then he told them all about Jesus. He told them all about Jesus, about what they said to him and how they treated him and how they crucified him. He told them all about Jesus. And guess what their response was? Their response was, we're sorry for what we said. We're sorry for what we did. We're sorry for crucifying Jesus, the Son of God. What should we do now? And this is how Peter responded to that. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. Now, did you catch that very last phrase? And for all who are far off. Do you think he really meant that when he said that? For all who are far off? Now, on that day, after that sermon, 3,000 people responded. 3,000 people were immersed into Jesus Christ. They were baptized into Jesus Christ. And they were all Jewish people, every single one of them. And what Peter didn't realize on that day was that God had bigger things in mind, more than just Jewish people. All who are far off. Let me point out that I think many times, many of us, if not all of us, to one degree or another, are like Peter. Republican Christians find it hard to believe that there are Democrat Christians out there. Democrat Christians find it really hard to believe that there are Republican Christians out there. And back when Peter preached this sermon, guess what? There weren't any Gentiles in the church. That was unfathomable. There's no way in the world there could be a Gentile Christian. Unimaginable. There weren't any Gentile Christians, at least as of yet. There will be Gentile Christians. And guess what? Since there will be Gentile Christians, and we'll find this out in just a moment, Peter had a tough time with that. Why? Because Peter was a Jew himself. He'd been raised from the Jewish perspective. He was raised with the Jewish perspective that Gentiles were inferior to Jewish people. Therefore, Gentiles were inferior to Peter. And God told the Jewish people, I want you to remain separate. I want you to remain separate from other people groups. And why is that? Well, I think it's because, at least in part, because every single time the Jewish people would be around other nations, they would get around other people groups, they would begin to worship other gods. And think about it. Some Christians do that today. They've got their own little thing going on. They got their own little schools going on. They have their own little mini denomination going on. They got their own little small group going on. In fact, I know of a guy right now who's a part of a fringe denomination who has nothing at all to do with his family. Nothing. His dad died almost 10 years ago. And as his dad was lying on his deathbed, his mother called him and said, would you please come see your dad? He wants to see you. He wants to talk with you. And he refused and did not go. A week later, the funeral, family was there, friends were there. It was a packed house. And he wouldn't come. Why wouldn't he go be with his family? Why wouldn't he go see his dad who was dying? Why wouldn't he go to his funeral? I'll tell you why. Because his family did not believe the exact same way that he believed. But you know, if you recall, Jesus said to the disciples and us, he says, I want you to go into all of the world. Just don't go into parts of the world that agree with you. Go into all the world. You see, Jesus wants us to go into all the world in order to be salt and to be light. What's salt do? What's the main? Well, it flavors, right? But back in the day, I can remember my dad telling me that as a young child, they they lived on the farm, and they would butcher a hog, and after they would butcher the hog, they would take it upstairs in the wintertime, and it was really, really cold upstairs because no heat got up there, and they would rub the hog down with salt in order to preserve it. See, salt preserves. And what Jesus wants us to do as salt, he wants us to preserve his values in our world today. You see, salt does no good whatsoever if it stays inside the salt shaker. You are a salt shaker. Part of your mission in life is to preserve the values of Jesus Christ. Salt does no good whatsoever if it's still in the salt shaker. Are you dispensing salt in your world today? Jesus not only wants us to be salt, but he wants us to be light as well. You see, light does absolutely no good at all if it's kept under a bucket. Jesus wants us to go into the world and not hide from the world. In Acts chapter 10, we see Cornelius. Cornelius is a Gentile. Now, back then, you had two different classifications of people. You had Jews and you had Gentiles. As a point of review this morning, let me say it again. What's a Gentile? A Gentile is anyone who is not a Jew. Is anyone here this morning Jewish? Is anyone here this morning Jewish? I didn't think so. Guess what? We're all Gentiles. We're all non-Jewish. And I think, too, that all of us have the same mentality to one degree or another, me and mine. We're the ones who are right and everybody else is wrong. And two, there is such a thing as truth in issues, but it's how you handle the truth that we're talking about. Open your Bibles, Acts chapter 10. If you don't have a Bible with you, just click in your Bible app and look at Acts chapter 10. Let's begin in verse 1. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. So this guy is a Roman officer. He's a Gentile. He's just not a Gentile Roman officer, but he's also an Italian. Italiano. The guy loved spaghetti and meatballs, right? The guy loved gelato, right? He loved pizza, right? And what happened is this. The Romans conquered the Jewish nation. And they ruled the Jewish nation. Therefore, every single Jew just hated, could not stand the Romans. And what's interesting is this. When you read through the story of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, you will come to the conclusion that Cornelius really was a good guy. He really was a good man. And that's very, very important. You see, there are people in our world today who don't understand anything about Jesus whatsoever. And still, they're good people. Still, they're good people. Look at Acts 10, verse 2. He and all of his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need, and he prayed to God regularly. I mean, here we have Cornelius, and he's a good, good man. And since he's a good, good man, he's okay spiritually, right? He's okay spiritually, right? Wrong. While he may be a really, really good man, he's not okay spiritually because he still needs Jesus. And so Jesus goes to a lot of trouble to get into contact with Cornelius. Goes to a lot of trouble so that they can get into a relationship. I mean, apparently Cornelius is seeking God, right? Cornelius is wanting to know more about God, wanting to know more about the Messiah. But all he has is his perspective. All he has is his opinion. All he has is Old Testament Judaism. That's all he's got. He doesn't have the good news of Jesus yet. And so in Acts chapter 10, God tells Cornelius that he's going to send Peter to him. Now, what's the problem with God sending Peter to Cornelius? The problem is this. Cornelius is a Gentile. Peter is Jewish. He's Jewish and he's prejudiced. He grew up hearing that the Jews had the truth. He grew up hearing that the Jews are the ones who had God's laws. They had God. The Jews had the sign of circumcision, right? They had the sign of circumcision. You know what a friend of mine says about circumcision? A friend of mine says this. He says, those guys who are circumcised, they're just a cut above the rest. What do you think? Is my face getting red yet? You see, that's God's system. That's how God set the whole thing up. You see, in the Old Testament, the Gentiles were not allowed to go into the inner workings, the inner parts of the temple there in Jerusalem. The Gentiles were only allowed in a certain area. The Gentiles were only allowed to be in the outer courts. They were only allowed to be in the Gentile courts of the temple, far, far away from where God was. That's how God set it up. That's how God made the laws. That's what God wanted at that time. And so a Gentile could not go into God's house. Now, Jesus would go to places, would talk with people that no good self-respecting Jew would talk with, go to. For example, Matthew the tax collector. Now Matthew the tax collector was hated by so many Jewish people. Why? Well, he was hated by the Jewish people because he was a tax collector working for Rome. But Jesus talked with him anyway. He was a Jew, right? Or how about the Samaritan woman at the well? I mean, no self-respecting Jewish guy would talk to a woman in public, much less a Samaritan woman in public. She was a half-breed. But Jesus talked to her because she was part Jewish. Here in Acts chapter 10, we see Peter. Peter's a guy who had prejudices. In Acts chapter 10, the church is maybe 7, 8, 9 years old or so. And the church up until this time was 100% Jewish. 100% Jewish, except for maybe those Gentiles who became Jews, who then became Christians. But the church was 100% Jewish. And the story goes on. Look at verse 9. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on a roof to pray. Now, I don't know about your house, but my house, I would not want to go up on the roof and pray. You know, the pitch is a little bit too steep to go up in the house and pray. And what was happening here is, apparently, Peter, the house where he was staying, the house up on the roof had sort of like a deck. And so Peter was up on this deck and he was praying. And according to verse 10, as Peter was praying, he was distracted. Let me ask you this. Does anybody ever get distracted when they pray? Okay, I see some of you raising your hand. Yeah, and I love the honesty here. I love the transparency here in the scripture, because it said he went up on the roof to pray and it says that he was distracted. I get distracted. Have you ever been praying and you're praying, and all of a sudden into your mind comes the thought, man, I'm really hungry. Man, a turkey sandwich surely would really be good right now. Has that ever happened to you? Or maybe you're praying in like January and the wind's howling out there like it is today, but you've got 18 inches of snow, it's 15 degrees below zero, and you're sitting there praying and you're thinking to yourself, you know what, I wonder what it's like to live in the Bahamas at a time like this. You get distracted, right? All of us get distracted when we pray. And so did Peter. I love the transparency here. But Peter's distraction, it was about food. It was about food that Jews could not eat. Look at verse 11 through 13. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. And the voice said, Peter, hey, Peter, kill. Eat. And on this sheet were these animals. These animals that Jewish people were not supposed to eat. They were unclean animals. And this voice in verse 13 again says, Peter, get up and kill and eat. Now understand, all these unclean animals were on this sheet, including pigs. Do you know what we get from pigs? Anybody? Bacon, exactly right. I mean, isn't it really sad to stop and think that the Jewish people couldn't eat bacon? Yeah. It almost brings a tear to the eye, right? But at any rate, he couldn't eat pork. And all these things were shown to him in the dream. God set the laws up that way. That's how God designed it. And for Peter, it was more than a matter of preference. For Peter, it was a matter of law. Now, when it comes to preference, When I have the choice of cauliflower versus bacon, I choose. Okay, when it comes to broccoli versus bacon, I choose. When it comes to Brussels sprouts and bacon, I choose. Exactly right. It's my preference, right? However, with Peter, it was not his preference. It was the Jewish law according to God. You see, what we're talking about here with Peter is a deeply, deeply religious thing, the Jewish law. Acts chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. While Peter was still thinking about this vision, this dream, the Spirit said to him, Simon, that would be Simon Peter, Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Don't hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. So three guys are coming to Peter to take him away, right? These three guys are Gentiles, and what they're going to ask him to do is to go travel to Caesarea in northern Israel, and they want him to go see this other Gentile guy, a Roman centurion whose name is Cornelius. This Roman centurion wants to know about God. And so Peter goes with these guys, and he gets into the house, and he sees these bacon-eating, Sabbath-breaking, uncircumcised Gentiles, and suddenly he realizes, you know what? I now understand what God was getting at. I understand the meaning of this dream, this vision. And verses 34 and 35 tell us, then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what's right. But Peter, what if they eat bacon? But Peter, what if they have a different skin color? But Peter, what if they're of a different ethnicity, a different nationality? But Peter, what if they vote differently than what you do? Peter, what if they are Republican, Democrat? What if, Peter? God said he doesn't show any favoritism whatsoever. Now, that doesn't mean that Peter needs to open up a big package of bacon and fry it up, no. It just means that what Peter needs to do is to open his eyes and open his heart and see these people the way God sees these people. And so Peter tells Cornelius, tells his family about Jesus, about how Jesus fed the thousands, about how Jesus healed the sick, about how Jesus was berated, about how he was beaten and crucified, about how he was laid in a tomb and left for dead, about how Jesus rose up from the dead and ascended to the Father. He told him all about Jesus. And then after he told him all about Jesus and everything there was to do with Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God showed up in this Gentile house. The Holy Spirit of God showed up in this Gentile house. People who are different, like a lot different than Peter. You see, God wanted Peter to really understand that he doesn't show any favoritism at all. Verses 47 and 48, Peter says this, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They've received the Holy Spirit just as we have. And so he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. Folks, this is a pivotal moment in the history of the church. This is a pivotal moment in the history of the church, and we are the recipients of that very moment. Understand, up until that point in the history of the church, you had to become, if you were a Gentile, you had to become a Jew in order to become a Christian. From that point on, you didn't have to become a Jew in order to become a Christian. If you were a Gentile, you could become a Christian. Because God does not show favoritism. And so in Acts chapter 10, we see a lot happening in the life of the church. some pivotal moments, some monumental moments. And having talked about all this stuff so far, let me ask you this. What are some lessons that we can take away today and use today and tomorrow and the next day and Tuesday? What are some takeaways that we can put in our pocket and use? Here's takeaway number one. And we've kind of hammered at this already, but God doesn't show any favoritism. God does not show favoritism. Or you can put it this way, God values all people. God loves all. Capital A, capital L, capital L. God loves all people. Democrat, Republican, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, Native American. It doesn't make any difference whatsoever what your skin color is. It doesn't make any difference what your ethnicity is. God loves you. You are made in His image. And even if people who follow God are maybe wrong in their theology, God still loves them completely, unconditionally. You see, God doesn't show favoritism. And then here's a second takeaway. Admit that you aren't all that lovely either. Just admit that you really aren't all that lovely either. Just admit it. The Apostle Paul said, I believe in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul said that while we were still in the act of sinning, while we were still in the process of sinning, while we were still committing our sins, Christ died for us. Christ died for you. Admit that you're not all that beautiful. Sandy and I, a couple summers ago, were eating lunch at Culver's one Sunday after church. And you all know how health conscious I am with my food, right? I just love green food, right? And so to be the healthy nut that I am with my food, that day I decided to have a salad. And here's where the healthy part comes in. I didn't have bacon on it. Okay, I'm sorry, Doug. Don't hate me for that. But guess what? We were eating salad, and I was enjoying my salad, and I think we have a picture of me enjoying my salad. Yeah, you can tell how much I was enjoying that salad. Just absolutely loved that salad, right? You see, here's the reality. There are times in my life where I don't notice certain things about myself. There are times in your life where you don't see certain things about yourself. You see, we don't see our own blind spots. There are those times when we aren't all that lovely because we are showing our blind spots. And so admit that you aren't all that lovely. And then number three, here's the third takeaway. Admit that you have preconceived biases. Admit that you have preconceived biases. I'm not sure how that's pronounced. Any English teachers? Is it biases or biases? Which one is it? Bias. Anyway, you have a bias in one way or another. You need to admit it. You see, all of us have a bias in one way or another, even when we're lovely. I don't want to use the word prejudice today because guess what? No one wants to admit that they're prejudiced. No one wants to admit it, but all of us have a prejudice in one way or another. All of us have a bias in one way or another. And Peter had the bias. Peter had the prejudice himself, so much so that the Apostle Paul had to confront Peter about his bias and Gentiles and Jews and Christians and that whole process. He had to confront him about that. Gentiles, Peter went back to his old way of thinking after Acts chapter 10. Peter went back to his old way of thinking. He started teaching us that, guess what? Gentiles, in order to become Christians, they've got to become Jews first. The book of Galatians is all about that very thing. And Paul said to Peter, no, Peter, that's not right. We're all the same. You see, even Peter himself, the one who led out in the church, even Peter himself had a preconceived idea, and it was hard to get away from that. And I think we are in the same boat as he was. Here's takeaway number four. try to understand. Try to understand that other person. Rather than jumping to conclusions, why don't you say to yourself, you know what, I'm going to walk a mile in their shoes. Or I think the original saying was, I'm going to walk a mile in their moccasins. Walk a mile in their shoes. In 1947, Jackie Robinson became the first black man to play professional baseball. In 1947, Jackie Robinson was called up to the bigs. He played not for the L.A. Dodgers, but he played back then for the Brooklyn Dodgers. What Jackie Robinson went through as a black man was incredible. He was the very first black player to play in professional baseball. At that time, there was no other black players. There were black leagues, but not black players in professional baseball. When he would take the field, crowds would boo him. When he would go through a slump, they would throw things at him on the field. Even his own Dodger fans would boo him as he would take the field. One afternoon, the crowds were berating him. In fact, this happened just really close to here. It happened at Crosley Field in Cincinnati while they played the Reds that afternoon. I believe it was in maybe May. But he took the field. He'd kind of been in a slump up until then. The crowds were booing him. They were berating him. They were calling him all sorts of racial slurs. They couldn't stand him, a black man playing in a white league. And then just as the game began, Pee Wee Reese, who was playing shortstop, walked over from short over to first base, and Pee Wee Reese put his arm around him, around his shoulders, and whispered some encouraging words into his ear. The crowd hushed. You could almost hear a pin drop. The game resumed. Later on, Jackie Robinson said this, "That embrace saved my career." Just try to understand. Maybe an arm around the shoulder. Maybe a cup of coffee. A Coke. Maybe a conversation with that person who is different than you. Then number five, we must be proactive. We must be proactive. Look at Acts chapter 13, verse 1. In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. Really? Prophets and teachers in the church in Antioch. Yeah. Here they are. Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a member of the royal family even, and Saul. Guess who they had in the church? Guess who they had in the church in Antioch? Black, white, Jew, Gentile, slave, free, even someone from the royal family. That's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. You are all one in Christ Jesus. I want you to do something right now. Because we're all one in Christ Jesus, right? I want you to do something. I want you to look at a neighbor, not a spouse, unless it fits, but I want you to look at a neighbor of yours, and I want you to tell them, no matter what you vote on Tuesday, I will still love you. Okay? Tell them, no matter what you vote, no matter how you vote on Tuesday, I will still love you. I don't care if you write Mickey Mouse into the ballot. I'll still love you. I vote for bacon. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
There is neither Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. There is neither Democrat nor Republican, nor independent nor libertarian. We're all one in Christ Jesus. Why? How can we be that way? How does that happen? Back to Galatians chapter 5, it says in verse 14, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said that. Paul said that. We just pretty much finished a series in the book of 1 John that says that. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. This might mean, literally, you spending time with someone who is different than you. This might mean literally that you spend time with someone who has a different skin color, who's from a different nation, who's a Democrat and you're a Republican, and you're a Republican who, and then they who are a Democrat. And you sit down and you just talk. You just try to strike up a friendship. You see, Jesus Christ loved us so much, even when we were so unlovely, he loved us. And Jesus was proactive in his love. He was so proactive in his love for you and his love for me that he actually died on the cross for us all to save us from our sins. So let's never forget that we need to love one another. And Jesus is our prime example. He loved us. Let's bow our heads and pray, shall we? Our Father, we love you. God, I pray that we would be able to, that we would be able to take your words to love one another as we love ourselves and take those words to heart. And God, we never want to forget that you were proactive. Jesus was proactive in his love for us by dying on the cross. God, we thank you. God, we appreciate that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't we prepare our hearts right now for communion? John Branion is going to be leading us in some thoughts.